Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is Friday. No days off here. Ready to go. Red Bulls in tow. We are ready. Live in L.A., the Herd, wherever you may be. However you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. J-Mac. I don't know what you did last night. I went out and got some dinner and just thought about all these sports things that are happening. Tonight, game 4. Denver wins. It feels like the series is over. Where are you leaning tonight?
Series over anyway.
You think it's over?
Miami needs a prayer. Unfortunately, some injury to some superstar on Denver or something. But yeah, it's over. I got Denver to me.
You do, and the line's about 2.5?
I saw 3.5 last night. I haven't checked this morning.
So that means
busy morning on the McIntyre front.
Okay, we'll find out about that later. Okay, so anytime I worked at a place, and currently this isn't the case, but I have worked at places before, and you're not quite sure the business is operating at full speed or highly functional. And it always comes down to one thing. Everybody's asking, who's running this place? Who's making these decisions? In Miami, you know it's Spoelstra, and you know it's Pat Riley. In Golden State, it was Bob Myers. It was Steve Kerr. Who's making the decisions here? With the Lakers, we're never quite sure who's making the decisions. Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, or LeBron. I saw this story this morning. Chris Paul to the Laker rumors. Heating up. Who's running this place? If that comes to fruition, LeBron is running the Lakers. Because here's what they need. More accurate three-point shooting, more dynamic, more youth, and somebody, because of LeBron's age and AD's brittleness, that can give you 70 games a year and big minutes. 7 seasons since Chris Paul gave you over 70 games. LeBron over the last 3 years has averaged 52, and AD over the last 3 years has averaged 44. The last thing in the world the Lakers need is another old star that gives you 53 games. It would be a mess in Los Angeles. I saw this headline. And by the way, is this LeBron's people putting it out there, trying to create inertia and steam and momentum? Chris Paul's dreamed of playing with the Lakers, says the headline. So what? They're not Disneyland. Lakers aren't into making your dreams come true. I once dreamed to be in George Clooney. Who gives a rip who Chris Paul has dreamed of playing for? I like Chris Paul, but two things are true. A heavy winter jacket and Chris Paul in Boston are perfect. They're both useless in Los Angeles. He doesn't fit here. He doesn't. He's old, expensive, and brittle. That is the opposite of what the Lakers need. But increasingly, we have asked ourselves this question. And this is what you ask yourself all the time for an organization that was once proud. Could be baseball, football, NBA, MLS, could be anybody. Who's running this place? Rob Pelinka as a GM cannot think this is a good idea. It's a bad idea. Even Westbrook, who didn't work, when they made the move, I argued he's available. He's productive. He gives you minutes. He plays hard. He plays often. I love Chris Paul in Boston because they have two young, dynamic, athletic stars in their prime that give you 70 games and big minutes. LeBron's averaging 52 games, AD 44, and AD just came off his longest streak of playing consecutively. That puppy won't last. So as we all age, you fit in fewer places. All you need to know, if this thing gains any steam at all, LeBron is running the Lakers. Because you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid acknowledges, I don't draft the players. Brett Veach does that. I don't do that. I use the offense. Andy Reid doesn't even worry about defense. That's Steve Spagnuolo. I know exactly who's running every part of Kansas City and Golden State and Miami. Chris Paul to the Lakers is a classic who's running this place scenario. All right, so we're after the finals wrap up, you have the NBA draft, and then J-Mac and I, we're going to pull up to the professional and college football buffet for 6 months, and we're going to gorge. So one of the things, we disagree with, sometimes I try to talk him into things, he tries to talk me into things. The one thing we agree on is that Russell Wilson is not washed. We're in the minority. There's even people in the league that think Russell Wilson is washed. J-Mac does and I don't. Not sure how you feel. Garrett Bowles, their best offensive lineman, who missed last year with an injury, he's all in on Russ.
He's a great dude. You know, he's the same guy every single day. He works his butt off. And, you know, I'm ready for that stuff to go away. And when it goes, you know, everyone's going to eat crow. I think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the game in the last 10 years. I mean, stats don't lie. Just because you have one rough season, you can't dictate the type of guy and his personality and what he goes through.
So there's really no historical precedent for Russell Wilson going from four really good years, three really good years, final years in Seattle, to what we saw last year. So here's what we saw in Seattle his last several years. 3 years, 66% completion percentage, 33 touchdowns, 8 picks, and a 106 quarterback rating, and winning 10 games. That was the average. By the way, with a very poor offensive line and running back by committee. So it's not like he had great offensive support. He had a defensive head coach. The O-line was a bit of a mess. They've drafted well, and now it's good. And the running backs were just a bunch of guys. Right? Rashad Penny. Bunch of guys. Never could stay healthy. And then here's his numbers last year in Denver. Man overboard. Everything plummeted. 4 wins. 60% completion percentage. His touchdown passes were cut in half. And his passer rating, like Trubisky level. So how's it possible? The only comp that is even, well, it's the same city, Denver. Peyton Manning was really, really good, and then he fell off a cliff. But Peyton Manning was 39 years old. Peyton Manning had had 4 neck surgeries. Russell Wilson last year started the season at 33 years old and has never had a major surgery. So there's no historical precedent for it. Really good to Washed. Again, he was doing that in Seattle with a bad O-line and B-level running backs. So I believe it all comes down to an 80-20 split. That 80% of last year was Nathaniel Hackett being completely, absolutely over his skis and into conference with really good teams. And then 20% was on Russell Wilson. And where was that 20%? Is that I think Russell Wilson views himself sometimes wrongly as a great pocket passer. No, he has two skills that are all-time unique. He has unbelievable instincts, especially late in games and in crisis, third down. He's got really good instincts. He's smart, but his instincts are fantastic. And the second thing is, he's uniquely mobile. The way he moves, he never gets hit. There's other guys that are faster, Lamar Jackson, maybe bigger and stronger, Josh Allen. But Russell had like a decade of running around and never getting hit, never getting really tagged. So he is uniquely instinctual and uniquely evasive. I think he has to lean into those again. And for some reason last year, he was very reluctant to do that. He was probably trying to be a good employee. He listened to Hackett. But you could tell by the end of game one in Seattle when Hackett couldn't figure the clock out, we're sinking here. I'm gonna take over the vessel. So let's go back to Russell Wilson's numbers last year in Denver. I think with Sean Payton, not only an upgrade in coaching, but arguably the second, third, fourth best coach in the league, I think Russell's numbers are going to go from this for our TV audience to this. 26 touchdowns, 8 picks, 4,100 yards, a passer rating in the mid-60s, a passer rating at 96, and a completion percentage around 65. And what would that be? Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was not a top 4 or 5 quarterback in the NFL last year. What he was capable of having a great game, a great half, a great moment, and leading his team to the playoffs. So that's what I believe Russell Wilson will become. Trevor Lawrence. Not a top 5 guy, although Trevor this year may be, but he'll be capable of getting a team to the playoffs, winning a game with a late drive, more than competent, good in the pocket, not yet great, more mobile than average, very good instincts, bit of a playmaker, not Mahomes, not Allen, not Burrow, maybe not physically Justin Herbert, but somewhere between like 6 and 12 in the NFL. That is my guess. Because there's no precedent for 4 really good years, 3 really good years into awful. There's nothing out there. Peyton Manning's it. And he was 6 years of hits older and 4 neck surgeries in. So that's where we are today. J-Mac, you and I think, agree on most stuff. Most, not all. I don't know who I'm taking tonight. I will say this. Miami will shoot the 3 probably better and will play with more energy. So I do think it's close. I don't think I'd bet it. Miami's the second best team in this series. Can we agree on that?
Yes,
they are. They're smaller. They don't have as many elite players. They have more undrafted guys. They're more about culture than talent. Denver's got a nice culture. They got better players.
Yeah, I wonder if after this series, a lot of the people in the NBA are going to start to change their mind on 3-pointers. Denver's not living by the 3 in the finals here. They're going through their center, Jokic. So I don't know if this is going to start a shift away from 3-point shooting, maybe back toward a big man being primary. There aren't a lot of Jokic's around them.
Well, it's also interesting. Analytics are great, like in baseball, for a long season. You play the averages. But when you get into the playoffs, you'll use starters out of the bullpen. You'll change. Mm-hmm. You'll go for the win in that moment. You don't care about the game tomorrow. In the playoffs, the starting pitcher is your momentum. You don't give a rip about tomorrow. You got to win the game now. I remember Lou Piniella years ago was managing the Cubs, and he was setting up stuff for later in the series. Lou, win the game tonight, today. Win the game now. So whereas in a regular season, you got a lot of tarmac. So in baseball, analytics work. But if you watch postseason baseball, some of that stuff hits the road, win tonight. So in the NBA, over the course of 82 games, you play into averages. But the NBA playoffs, the refs let you play. Sometimes you just need a basket. Yeah. And the best basket is an 8-footer, not a 23-footer.
Yeah. Well, Miami's only path to victory is hitting 3.
That's it.
That's all they can do to win this series. Meanwhile, Denver's like, I think they hit 5 threes last game. It's 5 or 6. Low number. They don't need threes because they got Jokic, who, man, it's amazing how he's a game changer.
Somebody should write a book on, I'm pro analytics, but they feel much more built for a regular season than a baseball or basketball postseason. I mean, think about football. There's a lot of things you will do knowing protect your quarterback, protect your players. But you'll have guys play hurt in a playoff game. I mean, yeah. Jalen Hurts was not healthy. These are playoff games. You play. You'd rest Jalen Hurts in a regular season in week 13 if you led the Cowboys by three games in the division. So I think all of our sports, there is an urgency. There's a business side. Super Bowl champs, every coach gets richer. The owner gets richer. The players get richer. Win the game and play hurt. Yeah. And so analytics are great, but what I think we're seeing from Denver, by the way, Milwaukee had some of this, get a basket. Just go get a basket. And Jokic is the best right now, not only the best at get a basket, but create a basket for somebody else.
I read a stat where Jokic and Murray ran more pick and rolls in game three than they had in any game this season. They just say, we're throwing everything out the window. We're going to our bread and butter. Jokic and Murray, they can't stop it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
When I used to work at the other place, a lot of people would scream about bias and regional bias, and some of it absolutely exists. Much like the losers who are always saying our elections are rigged and the NBA is rigged, they're not. I got news for you. If they were, the Denver Nuggets would not be in the finals. The Raptors wouldn't have gotten to the finals. We just have Lakers Celtics every year and occasionally Steph Curry. So of the last 12 champions, if Denver wins this final, six are non-traditional brands. It's not rigged. Either are elections. But there is bias. It's never as bad as everybody thinks. For instance, you know, everybody now is saying ESPN's got an SEC bias. It's the best football conference. Easily. No argument. Stop. It's the best. Big Ten's entertaining. It's not as good as the SEC. Now you add USC, maybe it gets better, but it's not as good as the SEC. But there is bias out there, and a lot of it is illustrated in this story. Bristol's in the Northeast. That building is full of New York sports fans. That's why they talk about the Mets way more than they should. Nobody cares about the Mets. In New York, the biggest city in North America, with a loaded roster, in a beautiful new stadium, semi-new, they're sixth in the National League in attendance and third in their own division. Nobody cares about the Mets. They barely care about them in New York. I hate to break it to you. They get 31,000 a game. The Cubs get more, and they're in a tiny stadium that's 100 years old, 200 years old, however old it is. And they don't have a roster as good as the Mets. But here's another, here's regional bias by ESPN. So they came out on ESPN Plus. That's behind like the pay window or something, you know, the pay service. You got to pay for it. They stacked all 32 teams by their top five players. Now, like number one's Kansas City, legitimate. Mahomes, Kelsey, Chris Jones, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney. Here's their top 10. So again, I don't have any arguments with a lot of this stuff, but here's where it gets fuzzy. They have the Jets at 8 and the Niners at 10. So the Niners are 3,200, 3,300 miles from ESPN. So let's look at the Niners' five best players, because this is the ranking. They're five best players. They have arguably, the Niners, the best pass rusher in the entire sport at a position that's really important. Trent Williams is viewed as the best left tackle in the sport. Christian McCaffrey, in my opinion, is the best all-purpose running back in the sport. George Kittle is the second best tight end, and Fred Warner is the best linebacker in the sport. Arguably, outside of Kittle, who's the second best tight end to Travis Kelce, you have four or five players are the best at their position in the league. They're behind the Jets, who have a quarterback coming off, as he's aged, Aaron Rodgers, is coming off a subpar year. Now, I think Aaron is their best players, their best player, put it up. But the Jets' best players, according to ESPN, Aaron Rodgers, Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, Garrett Wilson, and Elijah Vera Tucker. Garrett Wilson had four touchdown catches last year. 31 other wide receivers had more. And Elijah Vera Tucker missed 10 games, and he's a guard. Aaron's coming off an average Aaron year. Sauce Gardner's absolutely special. And Quinnen Williams made the Pro Bowl. You're telling me that core is better than San Francisco's core? Let's go back to San Francisco's core again. These are Hall of Fame players. Nick Bosa is going to be a Hall of Famer. Trent Williams will be a Hall of Famer. George Kittle will be a Hall of Famer. Christian McCaffrey and Warner are Hall of Fame talents. It will depend on their durability and their production going forward. They play collision positions. Three of those five are guaranteed Hall of Famers. Two could be if I get three more great years from both. Sauce Gardner feels like a Hall of Famer. Aaron is, but is no longer in his prime. That is regional bias. That is having too many people in the room that are Jets fans. Because that ain't close. It's nothing against the Jets. But when I was there and Rex Ryan was the coach, they gave them more publicity than the Packers, Cowboys, and Steelers that have a combined 15 trophies. Tim Tebow was, as a Jet, the biggest story going into a season. He was a backup quarterback. A backup quarterback for the New York Jets. So now a lot of people talk about bias, and then people often say, Colin, your show leans West Coast. It's not my fault California wins a lot of championships. New York State right now, it's in like a 10-year drought. They're not winning championships. California's in a 10-year surplus. They're winning a lot of stuff. The Warriors, the Rams. Now USC is interesting. You've got all sorts. You've got, the Lakers won a bubble championship. Dodgers are viable. They're always a World Series contender.
Can I ask a question since you are going after my favorite football team?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, can we flash the top 10 real quick?
Let's flash the top 10.
Yeah, let's see the top 10 real quick. One more time. Because I often ask you, what is the most important position in football? It's just one simple question. Pretend this is a courtroom.
Quarterback.
Okay. How many teams in that top 10 have a quarterback as one of their five core players?
Well, I haven't looked at all 10 of them. I know Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts.
Take a guess. It's eight. A leading question. No.
Nine?
Yeah. But one team doesn't have a quarterback. The Niners. That's why they're 10. The Jets now have a quarterback.
Okay. and a defensive coach and a shaky O-line.
It's all fair.
And a wide receiver in Garrett Wilson.
We're not looking at the coach. We're looking at the core.
If you're basing this on five players, it's not like the five best players for the Niners are all guards. Pass rusher, left tackle, weapon, superstar, versatile running back. Like they have the Niners have the best players in the league at like six positions.
Fair.
The Jets do not have the best player in the league. Only Sauce Gardner could be argued.
Fair.
And I'm not saying.
What do the Ravens have that's best at anywhere?
Well, Mark Andrews is probably the third best tight end in the sport. Lamar's a top 10 quarterback. Yeah.
So basically, this list is, do you have a great quarterback, right? Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow.
Then why don't you call it that? Why don't you just call it?
Because they're trying to get cute with this core thing. Like, how? Why is, on a team of 50, how many, 54 players? Why is a core five players? That's a little silly. I think this is just a fun list.
If you asked every GM in the league, you get five players off every roster in the league. You can take any team. Do you think the Niners would have nine teams ahead of them? If you could go to a GM and say, I'll give you the best left tackle, the best edge rusher, the best linebacker, the best all-purpose back. Oh, by the way, it's not like their receivers are bad. It's not like Purdy was terrible. This team got to the NFC Championship with Brock Purdy. With Brock Purdy. Yeah.
They've got great players, but the quarterback question, I think, looms.
I'm not saying the Niners should be number one. I think that does drop you. They shouldn't be Kansas City.
Your beef is with Aaron Rodgers and the
my
Jets.
My beef is the Jets' core is a quarterback that is inarguably past his prime. I'm sorry. He is a guard that couldn't play and a receiver that is.
Well, the guard could play. He just got hurt.
He missed more games than he played.
He's very good. By the way, the other storyline is count the NFC teams on that list. Three. That's it. No Vikings
anywhere. And by the way, three, and the Niners were lucky to make it.
That's also true.
First of all, if you're doing top core players, and I'm not saying quarterback shouldn't be more. Like, I would put Kansas City, Cincinnati, Philadelphia all above them. And Miami, because they've got some superstar corners and receivers, you can make that argument. Buffalo's interesting. After Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs.
They got some defenders.
Good defenders. So
the team
have a corner
that would have been spicy.
Like.
You want to make this list spicy? You bump the Niners. And you put the Jaguars at 10.
So the Niners are not in the top 10.
Yeah, they don't have a quarterback.
They have a quarterback.
Trevor Lawrence, you're not picking up the phone call today. You're not picking up the phone if somebody's calling about Lawrence.
I'm not arguing that the lack of a star quarterback doesn't put them below team. It doesn't put them below the Jets. If they played tomorrow, who would be favored?
Where's the Niners?
It doesn't matter where it's played. If it was in San Francisco, they'd be favored by six,
two and a half
on the road. And they'd be favored, by the way. So your core is overweighing quarterback. And I don't think Brock Purdy's terrible.
Remember,
7-0 as a starter.
This isn't Shanahan putting LaFleur in a body bag as usual. Now it's Robert Saleh, defensive guy. I mean, Shanahan owns LaFleur. Anyways.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Okay, we talk a lot about culture, the Heat culture. So I saw this headline, didn't love it. The Warriors are working to rebuild their culture. It's their top off-season priority. Mostly Draymond, Jordan Poole, wasn't pretty, went sideways. I don't love that headline. Work on getting bigger and more athletic. The two best cultures in sports over the last however long are the Warriors and the Patriots, 10 titles. Two A would be the Spurs. Get to that in a second. Why did New England fall off a cliff? It was not just because Tom Brady left. That was part of it. It's because the entire last season, Brady was a Patriot. He was heard screaming, remember this? Get open. Nobody can get open. The reason Tom Brady, 2 to 3 years before he left, was thinking about it, and his last year was yelling about it and then did leave, is because the Patriots became more about culture than getting athletic, fast guys who could get open. They fell in love with themselves and their culture. Culture's a bunch of hooey if you don't have speed and athleticism. By the way, New England now is slow and unathletic, and they don't have Brady. They'll probably finish fourth. Greg Popovich in San Antonio since the Warriors have first won their title in 2015. The Spurs are 30th in the NBA in three-point shooting. They fell in love with their culture. Find guys that can shoot. They fell in love with their culture. Did Popovich get dumb? Did Belichick get dumb? Fall in love with talent and shooting. In college, Jim Boeheim admitted the other day, I thought it was very interesting, because I think Coach K and Nick Saban had a strong culture at Duke and Alabama, but didn't fall in love with it. Boeheim admits he stayed with the zone too long defensively. He said recently, there's too many good shooters. We were too slow. People started shooting. Centers could shoot. Forwards could shoot. The zone doesn't work. He grasped culture. He choked culture. Saban moved off linebackers being a priority and made quarterbacks and receivers a priority. Coach K, reluctant, moved into 1-1. That's how you win championships. So when I hear this about the Warriors' number one priority, Steph's 35, Klay's 33, can't defend, Draymond's 33. Culture's not your problem. Trade Jordan Poole, it'd be good tomorrow. But you can't trade Jordan Poole, can you? Because he's twitchy and athletic and can get his own shot. You can't move Wiggins, twitchy and athletic. Kuminga probably should play more. Are the Warriors going to become what? Brilliant Greg Popovich and brilliant Bill Belichick. And really smart Jim Boeheim became. They worried too much about the past and their culture, and they grabbed it, and we got to revisit it. No, you can't re-sign Klay Thompson. Steph and Draymond, fine. But you got to kind of probably keep Jordan Poole and Wiggins and Kuminga. I got moving off Wiseman. He didn't fit your style. But the Warriors' number one priority should be size, a big that can score, having a threat over 6'7" that could put the ball in the basket. Watch Jokic. That's the future.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand,
time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
So I saw this headline by Sports Illustrated. It was like, Sports Illustrated, you were the Bible. The Bible's supposed to be right. Sports Illustrated headline, it's time to admit Jamal Murray's a superstar. Two words. Good hell. Messi, Steph, LeBron, Mahomes. Jamal Murray has 1.1 million Instagram followers. Lonzo Ball has 17 million. LiAngelo Ball has 3. Superstar equals popularity, not just production. Star equals high production in your sport. Devin Booker's a star. Jaylen Brown's a star, an all-star. They're very productive, very good players in their sport. Christian Yelich in baseball, Brewers, that's a star. Superstar is production, endorsements, popularity titles. You get mobbed at the mall. You've got multiple, Travis Kelce maybe, or a Patrick Mahomes, multiple national commercials, 10 million plus, 15 million plus on Instagram. People freak out when they see you. John Elway is bigger today in Denver than Jamal Murray. John Elway hasn't played in like 20 years, 30 years. When did John Elway play last? So star equals production. Superstar is production plus titles plus popularity plus endorsements plus people freaking out in a mall. TV networks literally build around you without mentioning the team. Shaq and Kobe coming to town. Don't even have to mention the Lakers. We see the jersey. So there's a big gap between star. There's a lot of stars. Okay, Taylor Swift is a superstar. Taylor Swift is bigger than anybody in America in sports by a mile. She's 1,000 times bigger than Patrick Mahomes. If Taylor Swift pulled up to this studio and Mahomes did, and there were 1,000 people, 900 would surround Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift or Messi?
Globally, Messi.
Yeah.
But Taylor Swift is does she? I'm sure she does stuff abroad.
I'm going to say it for the third time. I cannot get tickets to her concert here at SoFi. Somebody help your boy.
But I think sports fans struggle with that. They because sports fans think, well, I like my sport. Like hockey fans always like this. Everybody I know likes hockey. Well, you're drinking too much. you're probably hanging around hockey guy.
Yeah.
You go to the games. You go to the message board. Like golf guy tends to think everybody loves golf. Not really. 3 million people start every year and 3 million people quit. Golf is hard. It's really, really hard. I've started golf 1,000 times and I've quit it 1,000 times and now I play it infrequently. It's hard. You have to be dedicated. So sports fans tend to think, my mom didn't know who Derek Jeter was. She knew who Ken Griffey was. Ken Griffey had national spots. Jeter was doing local commercials for Ford. That's the difference. Mm. A-Rod was a superstar. Griffey in his peak briefly was a superstar.
Do you? My mom, who watches all the time, she doesn't know who Jamal Murray is. There's no way.
No chance.
I don't think she knows who Jokic is.
Well, Jokic is not a superstar yet. He's a star. Now, if he was, Shaq was a superstar.
LeBron,
Curry. But Shaq was also embraced it. Shaq was highly verbal. He's very funny. He's animate. Charles Barkley, by the way, is one of the only sports TV superstars. Like, I mean, Barkley literally moves a TV rating. I know you have a thing with Barkley. He's a star. You and Barkley have
so
a...
So overrated.
He literally moves
the
needle.
Entertainment, that's all.
Well,
that's
what's
all
wrong with that? What are you and I?
Entertainment. He doesn't have any analysis.
At all.
It is horrible.
Oh.
Everything he says is way off. If he picks the Heat tonight, just run and put your house on the Nuggets. Like, honestly.
Come on.
And I like the guy. He's entertainment. But in terms of basketball
sounds
analysis...
Sounds like you love him. Sounds like you're really good friends. Bad
Can
mouth
you get him on the couch?
Minutes.
Can you get him on the couch? I don't want to get thrown through a window like he does to other people.
Oh, good God.
Anyways,
yeah. I'd hate to hear you talk about people you don't like. You roast Barkley.
I like Barkley. Obviously.
He's a wildly entertaining.
Indeed.
And by the way, I don't want my guys on TV giving me too deep analysis. I'm not interested in that. I'll listen to your podcast for that. Zach Lowe can give me analytics.
So are you watching Barkley's, what is that new show that he started on CNN? Are you watching? Oh.
I'll probably watch one of them.
Oh, okay.
But I would watch Kenny, Shaq, Charles, and Ernie. Ernie's great. I would watch those guys over a regular season game. I could give a rip about the game. I'll watch them. I have gotten on my treadmill, watched the pregame show, turn the game off, come back at halftime, go back outside with my wife and have a glass of wine.
I'm a means to an end guy. And, you know, I do like gambling and I like winning money in gambling. Yeah. They're not ever offering you anything actionable in gambling.
They're not paid to
I understand
do that.
That. So that's why I'm not, I enjoy the show, but I'm not like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I'd rather watch this than Anthony Edwards versus Luka Doncic.
I would.
No, I would not.
In February, I would.
I'd rather watch Luka Doncic in practice than I would inside the NBA.
Oh, I thought Barkley was your friend.
I like him. I didn't say friend.
Ew, you're just lighting the guy on fire here.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's bring in Dan Wojcicki, our buddy, L.A. Times, Lakers beat writer, among other responsibilities. Do you like him?
Yeah,
I hope you like him more than you like Barkley.
Yeah.
Roasting him.
Good analysis from Dan.
Okay, so we were talking about this.
Baseball attendance?
I'm sorry, I'm a loser. Okay, so there's three players in history that they're hard to quantify.
Yep.
Magic literally could get you 42 points playing center.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I love Bob Cousy. That's not the way it works. LeBron was positionless. I'm going to guard Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guard a four. Jokic has sort of become that, hasn't he?
Yeah. I tweeted something about this the other day after kind of listening to some Jokic discussions on television and stuff like that. And people really struggle, I think, to talk about him because there's no historical comp. And when we have these conversations about players, usually like we lean on these historical comps as a crutch. Like you can say, even with LeBron, for instance, right? Like at least with LeBron, like you could point to Jordan's magnetism, Kobe's proficiency and stuff like that. And LeBron is a totally different player, but you could look at like best player in the league, like type of, there's a straighter line drawn between those three guys. If we're going to have like a real honest discussion about what Nikola Jokic is doing on the court, I mean, you start pulling some wild names and you start mixing them together, right? It's like, okay, so there's some Bill Walton passing, but better. Moses Malone's size and rebounding, maybe.
Arvidas Sabonis.
Dirk's touch. You start adding all of these guys. I mean, like, he runs the fast break, like, kind of like Magic Johnson.
Right.
So it's really hard to have a straightforward, like, this is who this player is because we have not seen players who play like this. This is completely unique. I was at an event earlier this week, and we were talking to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Jokic's name came up, and it was sort of like, he was just basically like, no one approached the game at the center position the way Nikola Jokic did when I played. Like, I mean, he's completely foreign. It is like basically like going to the 1920s and giving someone an iPhone, and like their head would explode. like I have access to all the information in the world. Like, this is a guy who can do everything on offense. He looks like he should be slow, but somehow he's the fastest guy down the court. Like, he throws every pass. He makes every shot. He has as the kids would say, an unlimited bag, right? The skill set is insane.
Yeah.
And, he's on his way to having a championship, which is, like, the ultimate validation. And, like, if he gets that, that'll make it a little bit easier. But, I mean, when we start talking about kind of what he's done over these past 3 years, it's you look at the efficiency – you look at the counting stats. You look at the winning generally, too, in the regular season. It's pretty unmatched.
Well, our staff put this up earlier. Because assists now mean more than they did 15 years ago because they can become threes, two.
Points created.
Yeah. Jokic, he's not double Shaq, and Shaq was certainly valuable. He is a mile ahead of all-timers, Duncan and Shaq. Mm-hmm. He's worth 54 points a game. And people say, well, he's not as good defensively. For the record, Duncan was great defensively, so was Giannis. But it is an 80-20, 70-30 offensive league.
Sure. And I think, I do think that his defense is probably – you can focus on the things he can't do, right? Like, you wouldn't put him in a switch on a pick and roll the same way you would Bam Adebayo or Anthony Davis or some of these guys who are like these total, you know, Swiss Army knives on defense. But one thing Nikola Jokic is gigantic. And you watch him and the way his strength and the way he like holds his ground around the rim, it gave Anthony Davis real problems finals. Yeah. And like he's got great hands. He deflects passes. You know, he's a really smart player. I think like him being terrible on defense is pretty overstated.
Yeah.
I think it's more, again, like, yes, he has shortcomings on that end of the basketball, but I think he maximizes what he has.
Also, the Warriors have always done a good job to insulate Steph's weaknesses with Klay Thompson, Draymond. The length of the Nuggets, Gordon and Porter, masks some of the deficiencies of Jokic. They're just so damn long. They volleyball stuff
and
out.
I think over time, like Jokic too, Steph's defense totally overstayed. Like
he tries.
He got better on that side of the ball. You know, using his smarts, using his increased strength. I mean, he's still a very slight person, but like you look at before and after pictures basically from Steph's third year to now. I mean, he looks like Schwarzenegger compared to what he used to look like. and I think like, you know, Jokic, again, similarly, is trimmed down. He's changed his body.
There was a lot of pudding there 3 years
ago. probably some, some Serbian delicacy, I'm sure. but like, you know, I think like he's now though a guy like who understands exactly like what his limitations are and he's figured out ways to maximize what he can do. And I think, you know, when you're talking about great players, I mean, that's he checks the biggest boxes, right? He makes his teammates better, which is, I think, when you're talking about the tippy top guys, because that's the difference between being a winner
and Bird and
that's
LeBron
being a winner
and Bill
Michael
Russell.
Jordan and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
You make the world easier for those around you. He's as good as anybody in the league right now at that. And then you look at you can look at the stats. I love what he said about statistics though the other day, where it's just basically like they're just numbers. Just use your eyes and watch him. Like he's a magician. Like he is just like, you watch him and you're like, how did he do that?
I said the other day, if you never seen Bird, you'd be like, okay, he's not Bird, but he does Bird-like things.
Sure.
His touch passing, his vision.
He's 70 pounds more than Larry Bird. Like, that's like the thing, too. He's like Larry Bird if Larry Bird was just like a big, giant octopus. Like, I mean, like with these crazy long arms and like the balls attached to his hands. I mean, like my friend Scott Cassiola at the New York Times once wrote a story about Jokic and his water polo past. And like, you know, because that's a huge sport in Serbia and stuff like that. And like he throws these water polo passes, like where he gets a rebound and with just one hand, like cocks the ball back and just whips it.
We saw it the other day.
Yeah. And it's unmatched.
You know, so I want to throw something at you. I'll get to Chris Paul to the Lakers
in a second.
But I want to ask you something, because I think the three best cultures in sports over the last 15 years have been the Patriots, the Warriors, and Spurs. In terms of pro sports, I got championships. I get defiant coaches. They were ahead of the curve.
The Heat on the edge there?
On the edge, but not enough championships quite. LeBron's kind of, you know, brings those to you. But New England, before Tom left, he had voiced concern on television and to those close. The team was too culture-oriented and slow. The game was changing. Bill's culture was suffocating reality. Stop drafting guards and kickers. Get fast. We've seen what's happened when Tom left.
But it would be nice to have a running back every once in a while.
Greg Popovich. They're 30th in three-point shooting since 2015. Your culture's great. Get shooters. So Coach K and Saban, both iconic collegiate coaches, moved a little out of their culture. They maintained a culture.
Mm-hmm.
But Coach K said, we're going to be a one-and-done program. That was a real shift. Remember, for years, they wouldn't hang your banner if you didn't graduate.
Yeah.
Mike changed his culture. Still maintained high principle. Nick Saban, when they first got to Bama, it was linebackers and corners. And then it became quarterbacks and receivers. He spread the offense out. The tempo was faster. They played a different game. Lane Kiffin got in his ear. Saban, smart enough. So I look at the Warriors, and I see this headline today. Number one thing in the offseason is to rebuild that culture. No, it's not. It's to get bigger. It's to not re-sign Klay. They're doing a New England, and they're doing a San Antonio, which is the culture starts suffocating all this sports stuff. The only reason the Miami culture means bupkis is Jimmy Butler's great. If he's off that team, you're not a playoff team. Culture matters, But athleticism, twitchiness, so, size.
I think culture, it matters, but not in like the all capital letter way we kind of project it, right? Like, right. Obviously, right? Like, talent is the most important thing. Like, you want to see a good coach, give them good players,
right?
You want to see a good coach that struggles, give them bad players.
Pop.
Yeah. I mean, that is what it is. And I think, you know, Popovich has shown, like, and if you track back pre-2015, like, they did change styles, you know, from, like, the more Robinson, Duncan-focused teams to a more Tony Parker, more Kawhi Leonard towards the end. And they did switch things up. I do think, though, so I was texting with an executive this morning about this very same thing, which is sort of this idea of when do you move off a path? If you are on a path,
right,
like, you don't want to be sentimental, for sure.
Thank you.
But you also don't want to fix what isn't as broken as maybe it is, as you think.
How broken are the Warriors?
That's a really good question.
They're getting really old.
I think they're definitely getting old. There will be a moment in which, you know, they are not a credible contender. But I don't know. I think, like sprinting into rebuilds stink. Like, they are painful. I'm from Chicago. Like, that the Jordan rebuild that the Jerry Krause sprinted into lasted a decade. Like, it's not a fun time. And they have stars. They do have an established culture, for sure. But, you know, they have won different ways, right? Like, last year, that team looked very different than, you know, the Kevin Durant version of the Warriors, which looked very different than the pre-Kevin Durant version of the Warriors. So I trust them to be able to sort of massage what they have. They do have to change. They can't be exactly the same. They've been limited by, and they will continue to be limited by, you know, you miss on some, on, you know, Steve Kerr caught a little flack for this, but, like, you miss on some picks, like, you don't establish the same depth and have
they
the same role players.
Wiseman, right?
Yeah, you know, but I mean, look, I think the bet, like, that maybe Moses Moody is a better player, that maybe they'll figure something out with Kuminga.
Yeah.
And if not, they can use those players to augment what they have. I think you have the most important thing in the NBA, which is you have a transcendent player
and
Stephen Curry.
A really smart coach.
You have a good coach, and you have players that know each other.
Yeah.
I think there's value in that. I think I think sometimes culture is, if you view it rigidly, it can hold you back. If a good culture, though, is flexible. And the reason why I mentioned the Miami Heat is, like, you know, like, the backbone of their culture is that if we bring you here, we believe in you. We don't care if you played at Lewis University like Max Strus did.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care. You know, like, Duncan Robinson played at a Division III before he went to Michigan. We don't care about that stuff. We don't care if you were undrafted. We don't care if you were a top five pick. Like, you are going to fit what we do, and we're going to make it work, and we're going to find what you do best, and we're going to bend to that. You know, like, every coach, you think Pat Riley at his core wants to see Duncan Robinson running around shooting contested threes? Like, that, I mean, Pat Riley is a super tough-nosed player, coached a super tough-nosed team in New York. That was more who he is. What good cultures do is they allow people to express themselves, to be themselves in their craft, and you open your arms to that.
So, Chris Paul to the Lakers. I said earlier, I've been very lucky. I've worked for good companies. Any time a company stumbled or I had questions about the direction, there was always one thing I asked. Who's making the decisions now? Warriors, Heat, Kansas City Chiefs, Eagles, Howie Roseman. I know exactly how he's running that franchise. Nick Sirianni's coaching it. When you get into trouble, it's who's running the franchise? Chris Paul to the Laker rumors feels like LeBron would be running the franchise. I think Chris Paul and LeBron similarly. The Celtics' two best players are young, prime, 70 games, big minutes. They can handle some age. But when your two best players are AD and LeBron, the worst thing is, here's another guy that plays 48 nights. And by the way, he'll be on the IR three times. Chris Paul, to me, doesn't work with the Lakers.
I think any decision, and I wrote about this a little bit in our Lakers newsletter this week, any decision that a team makes is, I think, in a vacuum, like, a lot of what you're saying makes total sense. I think, though, but if you look at cost, if you look at role acceptance and, like, the opportunity that Chris Paul would have and what he'd be willing to do, I think it starts to make more sense if his vision is aligned with yours. If he is signing with the Lakers to be a 30-minute a game player, the starting point guard, the guy who pulls all the strings.
Where's Austin Reeves go?
Well, I mean, Austin has played off the ball, but what I would say, like, generally speaking, is if that is what he is signing up for, you are setting yourself up for failure. Like, they just went through a version of this in terms of with Russell Westbrook, where they were spending $47 million on a player that wasn't giving them $47 million of production. If you're paying Chris Paul the minimum, like, why not? Like,
Chris likes money.
He does like money, and he's going to get, you know, if he gets waived, he's going to get $15 million of his contract. And it'll, but I mean, if he wants to go win, none of these teams that are close to winning have $20 million to hand Chris Paul. Like, they don't have it. They have either the mid-level exception, the mini mid-level exception, or the veterans minimum. Like, that is going to be, those are going to be his contract options. And I think, and certainly I think there is a cost in which Chris Paul makes sense. You can look at, you know, sort of this notion of like a part-time, like you mentioned 45 games or whatever. If they're the right 45 games, it's not an issue. If they're the wrong 45 games,
you get into a Brooklyn situation where those three guys never played together. You get to the playoffs and they played 11 games and you're like, yeah, our chemistry stinks. The reason Miami is winning.
I don't think it's a horrible idea. I think it is something that if you were paying him an unrestricted free agency and you were like sitting down ready to offer him a $60 million contract over 2 years, I would say that's a bad idea.
It's a horrible idea.
I think at there is a price point here where you can benefit on the fact that you benefit from the fact that the Suns are paying him a chunk of money, that he wants to win, that he obviously loves Los Angeles, has his family, is still here.
And you'd
stuff
have
like
Austin
that.
Reeves play off
and,
the ball.
And you have other guys. Well, I mean, if he's going to miss all these games, like I think, and ideally play a more limited role as you try to save him, you should have enough guys, whether it's Austin Reeves. It's not Chris Paul or. I think it's Chris Paul and, at the minimum. Right, it's Chris Paul and you can re-sign D'Angelo Russell. It's Chris Paul and Austin Reeves. It's Chris Paul and Rui Hachimura. And you would have all of these guys, and you have this other guy sort of just waiting for the moment. Now, the question becomes is he going to accept that, and will he stay in a good enough rhythm? I think you can look at, like, Miami with Kyle Lowry, and they've reduced his role, right? All-star
player,
career star. But they
don't have a ball handler.
And they pay him. They pay him 40-plus million. Or I'm sorry, not 40-plus, like 25 million. I think, you know, but they've used him in more of a hybrid sort of role.
But I would argue this. Bam and Butler do not initiate offense. LeBron and Austin Reeves do. I've already got that.
Chris Paul's been off the ball 3 of the last 4 years. Like, really. Like, I mean, he played off the ball with James Harden. He's become a much better catch-and-shoot player. He had a really bad shooting season 2 years ago. Shot the ball pretty well this year. And I think, like, I feel like I'm caping for him right now. But again, I think, like, there is a cost point here where the risk is so low and the upside is high that it makes sense to do. I think certainly his relationship with LeBron James is a factor in all of these things. Like, right. Like, they're part of the famous banana boat crew and stuff like that. But I think if you can have him on the floor and you expect less of him, you can lessen his burden. That you provide him, you know, instead of looking at Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell as hindrances to that, these are things that if Chris Paul is willing, I think there are people in the organization who still view value there. I think, and it's, again, it's D'Lo or what too, right? So, I think it's you sound like Jason talking about Charles Barkley. I think that the thing will be, you know, again, Chris Paul could be one of the, okay, I hate him to say this, an insurance policy. I feel like he just got a check from State Farm when I said that. But
all right, let's segue out of this.
Yeah.
Okay, finally. First time I think Dame's considering moving.
Yep.
Butler, Bam, Dame feels like the best team in the East. It makes sense. They have players that they could give.
Sure.
They've got draft picks. They've got players. Chance, and by the way, Chris Haynes said yesterday, he's like, yeah, first time I've heard somebody say it's a possibility. You buy it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that, you know, they're at an interesting fork in the road, right? And I mean, I think if you believe in Scoot Henderson, right, and I think a lot of people do,
yeah,
you have to ask yourself, if you're Portland, like, what's best for this franchise? Is it placating a star who's been incredibly loyal and been incredibly valuable? Yeah, but you know, a guy who is taking you to a conference finals once, but like really is limited defensively or whatever, and needs more help, right? I don't think the 3 pick gets them the kind of help that they need to get to the level they want to go.
No.
So it's probably best for their franchise to draft Scoot Henderson. And then it becomes, well, what's best for Damian Lillard? Like, what does he want to do? Does he want to be a part of, by the way, I believe Scoot Henderson, Damian Lillard, Anthony Simons can play together, certainly over the course of a season.
But there, he's a rookie. He's not going to play.
He's a rookie, yeah. He's not going to totally move the needle for you in that way. But if Dame wants to move on, I mean, like, this seems like a window in which to do it. It also kind of feels like a time when, you know, the stars that are going to be kind of out there in trade rumors, like, it's not a super robust market. That kind of felt like it was more last summer. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, like the Jazz blow up and stuff like that. I think, you know, Kevin Durant got traded already. James Harden has been moved already. Like, and seems like that's a two-way street between Philly and Houston. Like, there is maybe a really opportunity here for Portland to recoup good value and to move forward at a logical starting point with, you know, the future face of your franchise. It should Dame want out.
Dan Wookie, good stuff. Good
Thanks,
seeing
guys.
You.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.